Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air. Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, John McCure, and in for Julia Fellow, it's Adam Roberts.
Hey, coming up in just a couple of minutes, Mandela Barnes, candidate for governor. But first,
this is the 5 o'clock focus on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
ousted Wisconsin Center District CEO Marty Brooks isn't going quietly. Today he appealed to not have his firing stay in place. Adam Roberts was there. Adam, fireworks down there, it sounds like.
Yeah, we were questioning if this was going to be a lot of something or a lot of nothing. I'd say more something than not. 45 minutes Brooks was allotted by the board to basically make his case. He was allowed to put this in public in open session. It raised a lot of eyebrows that he would do that. And he came out swinging pretty quickly, listed some of his accomplishments, working in his role, especially with the Baird Center revamp a couple of years ago, but then went pretty much after everyone on the board who he says wronged him, including the guy who's now in his pseudo seat, the interim chief of staff, Jim Cantor.
The ultimate irony, the board gave my job to Chairman Cantor on a part-time basis of $30,000 a month. He has no event or venue management experience. After grousing that I was being paid too much, Cantor is now being paid at the top 25% level in an industry in which he would not otherwise even be considered to be interviewed for this position. And that is before even considering his conflicts of interest. The board fired the wrong person.
Cantor, the COO of Central Standard Distillery, did respond afterwards, basically, I'll paraphrase, but said, you know, it was an emotional speech by Brooks, but our allegations are factual allegations in the district's eyes. So what ultimately came of things, the board still voted to reaffirm we're firing him for cause. So you put two and two together, it's likely this is going to end up before a judge. Whether it gets settled, I don't know. His attorney, Brooks's, told me and others that they all were offered two settlement amounts, one around $380K, then one earlier this morning around $200,000, neither of which obviously Brooks accepted.
So at this point, he's not even asking for extra damages. If I read the information correctly, he's asking for what he says he would be owed if he was fired for convenience, not
correct,
for cause. And that's over $900,000, isn't it?
It is. It's just north of that. And there's a long, lengthy notice of claim that they submitted as part of this today. It's included in my web story on WTMJ.com. There's a link to it. But essentially, yeah, they're not budging on that number. And that's ultimately going to be the sticking point for how this could end up before a judge.
So what was the reaction of those on the board that he went after? Many of them were there. Was there head shaking? What was the reaction?
So when Cantor heard the call out against him specifically, initially during the speech, yeah, there was a little bit of a, I was right behind Jim, so I couldn't see his facial expression, but there was definitely some hand crossing and some head shaking. Alderman Bob Bauman received a lot of lobs from Brooks. He was not present for the meeting. He was at a Common Council committee hearing on We Energies, of all things, interestingly. Alderman Jose Perez, who levied the sexual assault allegations for which no charges were filed, he was virtual. And then Greg Marcus, CEO of Marcus Corporation, was also called up by name. He told us afterwards everything that he said was factually inaccurate, and we will have our day in court.
All right, Adam's done a great job covering this. You can stay on top of it by checking out WTMJ.com. A very active week or so in the race for governor on the Democratic side, and we're excited to have on the show with us live this afternoon, Mandela Barnes, one of the candidates running as a Democrat for governor. Mandela, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Really wish I could be there in person, but there's a bit of traffic in between us, so
yeah.
Happy to still join from the phone.
Yeah, we're happy you can do that, too. Part of that activity was David Crowley getting back in the race. Are you disappointed that David Crowley got back in?
Hey, look, people are free to make their choices. If he decided that his campaign wasn't viable at one point and decided to get back in, that's up to him. But I'm focused on running the strongest possible campaign to take on Tom Tiffany. This race, this primary, should be decided by voters. It shouldn't be the backroom deals. And I'm proud of the campaigns that I've run, but also recognize the very deep frustration that people have with politics in general, but specifically with the Democratic establishment. One of the reasons why we lost in 2016, it's one of the reasons we lost in 2024. People did not enjoy or appreciate or feel as if it was necessary to have the heavy-handed approach of the establishment meddling in our politics.
But you must have preferred that he not get back in, right? I mean, him getting back in isn't actually good for your campaign, is it?
I think that's for voters to decide. I think that voters, again, are very frustrated with the way things have been going. And I think people all across the state of Wisconsin deserve a leader that won't give up on them when times get tough, because campaigns can be very hard. But I can tell you, governing is even more difficult. And demonstrating an ability to work through the difficulties of a campaign is one of the best indicators that a person is actually equipped to lead.
You've reiterated many times that you're hearing from voters who say they're tired of the status quo. You reiterated as much on CNN with Dana Bash yesterday, but you have also held high-ranking offices within the Evers administration. You were his lieutenant governor. He's now endorsing your primary opponent. Do you view that as contradictory to say you want, you're a candidate who is going to fight against the establishment, but you've held those high-ranking offices for years?
Well, not at all, because you don't just fight against the establishment to go nowhere. Fighting against establishment in hopes that you will be able to finally get to a position where you can change things, where you can break the status quo. That's the purpose of organizing. It's been the purpose of any time I've been in political office. I've gone against the grain time and time again. As I've also stated in that interview, I don't have the receipts to prove, but I have the bruises to prove that I've gone against the grain, and I'll continue to do so every step of the way, and no matter what it takes, simply because times have been far too difficult for people for far too long. This affordability crisis that we talk about so often now has been the reality, not just for me, but so many people I've been around my entire life. And these are the folks who deserve more than the cards that they've been dealt. And we're going to continue to fight for change. We're going to organize, whether it's from the outside in or the inside out, to ultimately make Wisconsin the best place to live, work, and raise a family, regardless of your zip code.
Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is with us. So I think a lot of people were surprised that Governor Evers endorsed David Crowley. You were Evers' Lieutenant Governor. Did his endorsement of Crowley surprise you?
Well, a lot of people didn't expect the governor to get involved, but again, that's his choice to make. But it also is indicative of the sort of politics that people have been frustrated with for so long. And it goes back to that whole point that, you know, I think that the people of the state of Wisconsin deserve better. I think we deserve so much more. I'm incredibly grateful for Governor Evers and the leadership that he has demonstrated against a very hostile legislature. I'm very grateful to have been alongside him in 2018 when we finally got Wisconsin past the Walker era. In fact, I'm the only candidate that has won statewide before, but it has never been my ideal position to want to be in a place just to maintain things the way that they are. I want to challenge every sort of system because nothing has been working for people. People have experienced life in more difficult ways than you could ever have imagined in recent years. And while I am incredibly grateful for Governor Evers, the time for bold leadership is now. The time to fight for a majority in the legislature that is actually going to show up with urgency and deliver for people is paramount. And that's the future I'm fighting for.
One of the headlines the past 24 hours is that the state Democratic Party is currently urging the State Elections Commission to allow voters who already cast an absentee ballot to vote again. We've already seen more than 80,000 ballots have been returned. My question for you is, were you consulted by the state party before they submitted the letter to the commission? Was your campaign consulted at all?
I can't speak to if the campaign was consulted on that call or not. I can tell you, like, this has been truly the most bizarre campaign cycle I've ever been a part of, maybe one of the most bizarre I've ever witnessed. But I can't say for sure. I know I directly had not been consulted, not sure about the campaign. But I think that's pretty typical, actually.
So what is your thought on that? Do you think that people should be allowed to cast a ballot because of all the chaos that's taken place? Or if you've done it, you've done it, and that's where we are.
I do think people should be able to look at this race, see who's in it, and be able to cast their ballot.
So like, even if they've
a person being able to spoil their ballot. I do believe that people should be able to give the candidates who are actually in the race a good look and be able to make an informed decision. And so, yeah, I do think that people should be able to cast their ballots with the, you know, idea of the campaigns, or excuse me, of the candidates who are actually still campaigning in mind.
Mandela Barnes is with us. Pollster Charles Franklin said he's surprised still at the large number of voters that say that they're undecided this late in the race. How do you break through and win votes?
I can tell you, nobody's traveled this state as much as I have. Nobody has a track record of showing up when times have been difficult for people all across Wisconsin. And as I've mentioned, being the only person who's been elected statewide, my representation hasn't been just in a safe blue district as others in this race or a safe blue jurisdiction. It takes a level of cooperation to be able to appeal to folks all across Wisconsin. There are lots of differences. I think those differences is what makes Wisconsin strong, and I'm so incredibly grateful every opportunity I get to appeal to those differences because I get to bring my very Wisconsin story that is deeply personal to me, but that experience has been in Milwaukee most of my life. But at the same time, that story relates so deeply to so many other folks I meet all across this state who have shared experience, whether it's the best that this state has had to offer or whether it was some of the unfortunate things that we all have had to experience together. But at the end of the day, it's about having a good school to send your children to. It's about having a good job, to put food on the table, going to a doctor, not worrying about a surprise bill. That's the future I'm fighting for, because that's the future that's been denied to far too many people.
We recently saw the most recent campaign finance reports come out last week. You have said repeatedly you don't accept corporate PAC money, but you are supported by labor PACs, independent expenditure groups. Why should voters view those interests separate from interests you've criticized and your opponents for accepting before?
So I do not take corporate PAC money, and I do want to be very clear about that. And I do proudly accept support from labor organizations. These are hardworking people who are in organizations that have sought to level the playing field. And that is on brand. That is thematic with any sort of statements that I have ever made or any type of representation I've ever delivered, because fighting for unions means fighting for working class people. Households just like mine. I was very proud to be born in a union household. I know what it means when your parents have access to health care, time off, and are able to have a retirement. These are things that have, again, been denied to far too many people because the attacks on unions, both public sector and private sector unions, throughout the last few generations, and it's led to a steep decline in the middle class. I'm fighting to expand the middle class. The way we expand the middle class is through union membership in this state and ultimately all across this country.
There seems to be a narrative in some circles that Francesca Hong is a socialist. Well, she says she is. That's not just the narrative, but that she's more progressive. She's more liberal. She's more far to the left, and you're more traditional Democrat. Why would you be a better governor, do you believe, than Francesca Hong?
Well, I can tell you, this isn't about labels. People want folks who are going to show up, and it goes back to that whole breaking of the status quo. It goes back to the addressing the challenges of a broken system that has taken money out of people's pockets, has made people's living conditions that much worse. Folks aren't looking for labels necessarily. They're fighting. They're looking for fighters. They're looking for change makers. They're looking for people who are going to show up when times get tough and say, I know exactly what you're going through. I'm running because I know exactly what people are going through. And I do reject the idea of being a traditional Democrat. That's never been the case. As you know, I stepped on the scene by taking on a Democratic incumbent member of the state assembly. That was my very first election. And I've not been afraid or shy to criticize my own party when they get things wrong. Because if we're going to hold Republicans accountable, we also better make sure that Democrats are actually doing the right thing and showing up to meet the moment. And when it comes to governing, it is very clear and evident in the Marquette poll, as I am the only person who is defeating Tom Tiffany in a general election, in a head-to-head matchup. It's because we've taken our message across the state and we have worked with people who may not even agree with me. Some people who may see Mandela Barnes on the surface and say, I don't know about that guy. But after having a chance to talk to people, after very effectively communicating what I'm actually standing for, those walls start to come down. And that's what this campaign is about. This is about uniting people all across the state. And this isn't about kowtowing to any specific segment of the party. This is about uniting as many shades of blue as possible, moderates, independents, progressives, even socialists, you name it. We have them all on board with this campaign, people who are in this fight for more, because this is truly, quite literally, the fight for our lives.
Mandela Barnes, candidate for governor. We appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.